the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter on 1010XL. Presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics. Here are your hosts, Ryan the Hacker Green and Leon Searcy.
He's going to throw a fade to the right side, and that ball is going to be caught for the touchdown by Odell Beckham Jr. He beat Nevin Lawson in the right corner. Touchdown for the Rams.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio, and with that, a very good Sunday evening to you, Jacksonville. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. As always, we are presented by Jacksonville's area, Napa Auto Care Centers, and by Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics. With Leon Searcy, the Hacker Ryan Green with you, the Los Angeles Rams do whatever they want today in a 37-7 dismantling of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars have now dropped their 10th game of the year for, I believe, what is this, the 10th time in the last 11 years. They have double-digit losses. And, boy, Leon, what do we talk about? Want to see them get better. Want to see them get better. It's not so much about wins and losses. Just get better every single week. This team is 10 times worse than they were a month and a half ago. They are the worst team in football, if you ask me right now, and it seems to be getting worse as the weeks go on.
It's not even close, Hack. They're easily the worst team in the NFL. We were just talking about this off the air. The worst team in the NFL right now, record-wise, is the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions would kill us right now.
Yes,
I absolutely agree. Kill us on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. This team is not getting better in any capacity. I was hoping, listen, before the start of the season, we said, I think I had them at 5 wins, you had them at 6 wins. And I was saying to myself, you know what, this team's going to struggle a little bit, but I just want to see if Trevor Lawrence can get it going. You might have an abysmal season, but I just want to see week in and week out that Trevor Lawrence is getting better. He's not. He's getting worse. He's getting worse because of himself and the offense and the play call and the offensive line, the lack of running game and the wide receivers' inability to get open and catch passes. This offense is abysmal. It's terrible. It really is. And you start the game. This is how you do it. And when you go into a game, you say to yourself, you got to win at every facet. You got to win offense, defense, especially. What happens in the first play, for the first kickoff? All right, we give up a 65-yard kickoff return. Defense did a hell of a job holding them to 3 points. Then you get back on the field. You give up a play, Aaron Rodgers beats Norwell inside, strip. Robinson didn't fumble, he got stripped.
Aaron Donald
stripped him on the ball. So they turn back around, score, and then they turn back around, they score a touchdown, and then we get the ball again, we go 3-and-out. That was the first 3 series of the Jaguars' offense.
I mean, here's the bottom line. Phone lines are open to you, Jacksonville, at 641-1010. Leon and I have done this show before because in the past, on the fifth quarter, you know, we've talked about 30-point beatings and 40-point beatings, and we thought those days were over. You thought Urban Meyer's here, Trevor Lawrence is here. Maybe they won't go to the playoffs, but they're going to start being more competitive. We saw what Justin Herbert did as a rookie last year. You see the impact these rookie quarterbacks are having on their given teams. The Jaguars are just not very good, and that's putting it mildly. And I'm curious, Jaguar fans, I mean, where are you right now? Your generational quarterback, the generational quarterback, has thrown 9 touchdown passes in 12 games. Your generational quarterback today was 16 of 28 for 145 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. And I understand nothing's ever his fault. And that's a hill some Jaguar fans are going to be on for the foreseeable future. But did you see what happened in New York City today? Or East Rutherford, New Jersey? Gardner Minshew, who hadn't played a game all year, goes in for an injured Jalen Hurts and threw for darn near 300 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and leading the Eagles to a road win against the Jets. By the way, that Jets team the Jaguars are going to see in a couple of weeks in that same stadium, Jaguars don't have a prayer of winning that game. That's where the Jaguars are right now. And it's not as if Gardner Minshew has immense talent on the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, their best wide receiver is a rookie in Devonta Smith. They traded Zach Ertz. Dallas Goedert is their go-to tight end. that is an average team as a day is long. It's not all Trevor's fault. I'm not saying that. But we've been doing this now, Leon, for a few weeks. And you're right. The team's getting worse, and Trevor is not playing very well.
No, he's not. And the team, we talked about this last week. You know, initially, the start of the season, we say, you know what? We want to see this team at least compete, give a great effort, and all that kind of stuff. And then last week, we said, hell with that. We need some W's. This team is ill-equipped to win games. It is. They don't do anything efficient on offense. They don't run the ball efficiently. They don't pass the ball efficiently. They don't stop the run. They don't defend well. I mean, I'm just looking for something. How are we going to get W's when we're on both sides of the ball? Special teams-wise, we give up 65-yard kickoff returns. They do nothing efficiently that could set the table for us to win football games. I mean, what was this? I saw it again. I think I saw the stat on TV. This is the 41st time consecutively that the Jaguars started the game trailing once again.
Seventh longest streak in the history of pro football.
I played 11 years in the league. It's so important for a team to come out early, start fast, get some momentum. And this team, week in and week out, starts slow, find themselves trailing. They abandon their philosophy, if they have any. They panic. They throw. They dump the run. I think the running backs had, 10 carries the whole game?
Well, so far, so here's the running back. Carlos Hyde led the carries, 9 carries, 24 yards.
Okay, my bad.
James Robinson, 8 carries, 24 yards. Trevor Lawrence, 4 for 10. C.J. Beathard, 1 for 2. Laviska Shenault, 3 carries for 1 yard. You add all that up, it's 25 carries for 61 yards. That's a professional football team.
Less than 3 yards a carry.
25 runs, way less than 3 yards a carry. That's less than 2.5 yards a carry. They gained 7 feet on average every time they ran the football. I mean, that's reality. That's where you are right now. The passing numbers weren't any better. I said Trevor Lawrence threw for $145. $145 and 61. What does that get you? 206 yards of offense. And that's it. Laquon Treadwell, your leading receiver, 4 for 62. Laviska Shenault, 3 for 30. O'Shaughnessy, 2 for 13. Marvin Jones, 2 for 11. It is a broken offense. The defense was at least competitive in the first half. Then once the Rams figured out what they were doing, the defense had no answers in the second half. You didn't cover kicks very well. It is just an awful, awful product right now. And look, Urban Meyer's got to say something in the post game. Urban Meyer's going to get in front of the media tomorrow, and he's got to say something. The press conferences are going to continue. They're required by the league. You got to meet with the media 3 times a week. At this point, Leon, honestly, I don't really even care what's being said. Because what's being said Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays down at that stadium is not what we're seeing on Sundays. I don't care that they're getting better. They're going to correct their mistakes. All that is nonsense.
Well, what was the most frustrating thing for me, Hack, is that they don't seem to have the ability to fix it. This has been ongoing now for like the last 4 or 5 weeks. Outside of that Buffalo game, this team is just unfixable, in my opinion. I mean, what we're doing offensively is the same stuff we do. Defensively, they struggle because there's inefficiency on offense. They're having to, you know, they're having to cover for the offense imperfections. The offense has put them in situation and special teams where they have to defend the short field the massive majority of the time. And then when you do defend and you hold a team to a field goal, the offense comes right back on the field and they fumble the ball and they give a short field again for the Rams offense to where they score a touchdown. And then when the offense gets back on the field, they go 3 and out. I mean, no defense wants to defend that. I mean, they've got to be frustrated. And there's been times over the last couple of weeks where this defense has looked well. But, I mean, I don't know how many plays the defense is having to defend. But I tell you, it's got to be well over 60. It's got to be somewhere in the 50s to 60s.
4 of your 5 leading tacklers today on the Jaguar defense were Andrew Wingard, Nevin Lawson, Rudy Ford, Rayshon Jenkins. All members of the secondary.
Of the secondary, exactly.
But, you know, I mean, obviously you know why, but yeah. For people that wonder what that means, well, it's when the ball's getting down the field 10, 15, 20 yards, the secondary is forced to make tackles.
Yeah, it means that the offensive line on the Rams are getting to the second level, which means that they're coming off double teams and they're getting the linebackers, and then where safeties and cornerbacks have to make tackles.
Four games against the NFC West. The Jaguars go 0-4 this year. Today was the last beating. Got outscored 129-43 in the four matchups. Outscored by 86 points in four games this year against the NFC West. 641-1010 is the phone number, Jacksonville. If you want to get involved, we'd love to hear from you. I'm curious where you are as a Jaguar fan base here on a Sunday night. The Jaguars 2-10, and at this point, I think it's safe to say they're one of, if not the worst team in the NFL as of right now. Let's go down to Melbourne. Let's get Steve up here on 1010XL. Steve, go ahead.
Oh, man, I have just – I've pretty much had it. It's hard to call myself a Jaguar fan because I tell you what, at least Detroit, they put up a fight every game and they got their first win today. We are just getting pushed around like we're little toddlers out there. And like you said, the secondary made all the tackles, meaning our front seven got beat up. And I could tell they gave up because you see by fourth quarter, you're seeing second string guys like McCray and all them in there all of a sudden starting to play. I mean, they pretty much just gave up. And if Carolina firing Joe Brady was a bad thing, I guess, for them, it should give Urban the idea. Okay, I probably made a bad choice at offensive coordinator here at Jaguars.
Hey, Steve, appreciate the phone call. Look, I get it. I get the frustration. You're not supposed to be so comfortable in an NFL game that you pull your starting quarterback in the fourth quarter. How many games, Leon, in the last 10 years have the Jaguars just gotten bludgeoned in that we've seen the opposing team put their backup quarterback in? It happened today. And look, I love Johnny Wolford. We used to air his games right here when he was at Bishop Kenny High School. But the backup quarterback for the Rams, that's not supposed to happen. Stafford over there laughing it up, having a great time because they're up 30 with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That is just sickening to me that the NFL caliber teams put their backup quarterbacks in because the game is absolutely no longer in doubt.
Because the Rams got something to play for. We absolutely have nothing to play for. We're 2-10. All right. The next thing the Jaguars will be, they should be concerned with is April's draft. Okay, because they've got two more playoff opponents in the next 4 weeks, and then they've got the Jets and they've got the Houston Texans. I mean, I understand why Sean McVay did it because I mean. What were the Rams now? They're 7-4 now, or 7-?
Yes, well, they're 8-4 now.
They're 8-4 now. I mean, so they're not trying to get their guy hurt. They don't want anything to happen to them. They've got something to play for.
Oh, I don't blame the Rams at all.
No,
it's a total indictment of the Jaguars.
It is very. It's an indictment of the Jaguars when they've got the game in hand. You have absolutely no ability to bring your team back, and then they bring their starting quarterback, and he puts on the hat, and he's got the mic, and he's enjoying his life. He's drinking Gatorade on the sideline.
Let's go to the south side, get Jim up here on 1010XL. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. You know, I'd like to talk about when the guy put his helmet in our quarterback's head and they let it ride. And I'm not calling out the refs. I'm calling out our players, man. If Waddell was in there back in the day, he would have handled that. You take the guy that we're hanging all our hats on and you give him an open shot, helmet to helmet, and they get up and it's like, yeah, he just destroyed our quarterback. Where was our people, man, just taking up on that? You know, where were the people? And, you know, it's like, that's my quarterback, man. You can't do that to him.
Hey, Jim, appreciate it. I got a former terrific offensive lineman here. Jalen Ramsey basically slammed Trevor Lawrence's head into the turf after the fumble by James Robinson.
I saw that, yeah.
And then Leonard Floyd did go helmet to helmet on Trevor Lawrence as well. What is the protocol for an offensive lineman when the game is a rout like that in the fourth quarter?
You're supposed to mush the guy, the defensive player, at this particular point when you're getting drumming and the guy takes a shot, a necessary shot at your quarterback, he's supposed to get the people's elbow from the whole offensive line, really.
Yeah.
The reason why they don't, because everybody on the offensive line is all about self. They're all about self. They're so you can tell by the way they play that they're selfish players. If I saw that, Boselli saw that, Waddell, anybody on those teams that I played with,
Tilski, Coleman,
Tilski, anybody, if someone had taken a late shot on Brunell when he was down, we would have leaped on them. Even if we were down by 30, we would have leaped on them. Because, yeah, we might be taking this loss, but you're not going to hurt our quarterback. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things, so many particular things that I watched this game just enraged me about this team is that just so selfish, careless about no pride about the team or anything like that. No pride about being a Jaguar. That's the most frustrating thing about it. Yeah, we would have leaped on whoever it was.
Your weekly reminder, since Shad Khan bought the team prior to the start of the 2012 season, the Jaguars now in the regular season have 41 wins and 115 losses. That puts them 74 games under 500 since the start of 2012. Junior's been on hold forever. Let's head to Buffalo. Junior, boy, not probably what you wanted to see today from the Jaguars.
You said it, not what I want to see. I'm going to say my age, expose my age. Who remembers the NFL football follies when they used to show that? You know,
oh, yeah.
This reminded me of the NFL football follies, watching its offense, defense, special teams. You know, it was horrible. And Mr. Searcy put it right there. There is no pride of these players on this team. I'm a prideful Jaguar fan, and I'm always going to be a prideful Jaguar fan. I at least want my team to do that. Until they can do that, then we're not going to go anywhere. And I'm talking about coaching staff, front head desk, you know, people up there to the top. They had to show some pride of wearing that helmet, putting that uniform, and being proudful of who they play for and the fans that represent. And until then, they're not going to do anything. Thanks for letting me vent, guys.
Hey, Junior, appreciate it. We got to go quick here. By the way, we're with you till 11 o'clock. We're going late tonight. So if you're on the line, we will get to you at 641-1010. I look at that coaching staff, and yeah, we're going to rip Bevel and Schottenheimer to an extent, Urban, Sonjay Lyle. All the offensive guys are going to get it. The defensive guys, you know, I mean, they are good first half, bad second half. What can you really expect from the defense when your offense is giving you less than nothing? But at some point, you're 12 games into the year. Are they out of ideas? They're not doing anything week to week. They're throwing for less than 150 yards on a weekly basis. They're running for less than 70 yards on a weekly basis. I think they're trying. Like, you saw a little wrinkle with Jadon Mickens today. You saw Chenault in the backfield. It's not as if they're not coming up with new ideas. We hadn't really seen those, and they're at least trying. But at a certain point, you are what you are, and this roster's terrible. And I think the coaching staff at this point may be out of ideas.
Are they trying? Are they really trying? Are they really competing?
Well, let me ask you this. With the personnel on offense, you know the personnel.
Yeah.
What would you do that the coaching staff is not?
What I would do, I would play to my strength.
Which is what?
Well, initially it was
the running. That's kind of my point.
Initially it was the running game. Initially with James Robinson. Initially, you know, a guy just doesn't go for 1,300 yards from a line of scrimmage last year, and then all of a sudden he sucks. All of a sudden he gets pulled when he gets – he didn't fumble the ball. He got stripped of the football. All right? He gets pulled for back-to-back weeks, by the way. You got to play. I would go two tight ends, set it up where we would just run the ball, establish – the offensive line is supposed to be in the strength coming into this season.
Look, I'm not trying to defend the coaching staff, but I mean, let's be real. 2 weeks ago, what did we say? Our two best offensive players were Jamal Agnew and Dan Arnold. They're now gone for the year. They're not coming back. DJ Chark has been gone for the last 2 months. He's not coming back. You have a 31-year-old journeyman wide receiver. You got an underperforming Laviska Shenault. And then you have a bunch of journeymen like Laquan Treadwell and Jadon Mickens and Tavon Austin. I mean, that's reality. Your tight ends are O'Shaughnessy and a fifth-round rookie in Luke Farrell and Manhurts. That's like an expansion roster at the tight end position. Your running back is an injured James Robinson and a 31-year-old Carlos Hyde. It is the worst offensive roster in football, and it's not close. I would take the Texans offense over these guys. I would take the Jets offense over these guys. Is football malpractice what Dave Caldwell did here? The staff is paying for it. Trevor just has nothing to work with. Now, Trevor's not playing very well either. But for people that get mad at the offense, well, give me some suggestions then. What can you do with Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault and Laquan Treadwell and Jadon Mickens and James O'Shaughnessy? I mean, what can be done at this point?
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Hack, but it sounds like if they're thinking like that, then that's a built-in excuse to lose every week, in my opinion. These are paid professionals, okay? All those names that you rattled off, you get paid very handsomely to make plays, all right? So that's a built-in excuse for their lack of production. You are a paid professional in the NFL. Go make a damn play. That's what I say.
Jonathan, Ronald, Kirk, Mary, everybody hang in there. You'll be up on the other side. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. This is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, as always, we are presented by Jacksonville's area, Napa Auto Care Centers, and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics. The Rams, just a little 37-7 victory over the Jaguars tonight. The good news, Jaguars go to Nashville next week to play Tennessee, a place they haven't won in almost a decade. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Your phone calls next on 1010XL.
The Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter, presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Stafford dropping, looking, still looking, fires toward the end zone, caught for the touchdown. Van Jefferson in the back of the end zone caught the touchdown pass from Matt Stafford.
Frank Frangie, Jaguars Radio. If there was any good that came out of today, I am a Van Jefferson fan. Remember, we had him on a bunch at the Senior Bowl, former Gator wide receiver. I really became a fan of Van Jefferson through the draft process. His father, Sean Jefferson, has also joined us here on 1010XL in the past. And boy, he's really making a name for himself out there in Los Angeles. He caught the touchdown from Stafford. That was part of the Rams' 37-7 absolute demolish of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you an offensive player of the game. It is brought to you by the Money Pages Red Zone. And let's do it right now, Michael. The Money Pages Red Zone offensive player of the game.
Now, the Money Pages Red Zone play of the game. Money Pages, Jacksonville's trusted leader, helping businesses grow for 20 years.
There are some weeks when this is more difficult than others, Leon. This would be one of the weeks. But take a bow, Laquan Treadwell. Four grabs, 62 yards. He more than doubled any other Jaguar in receiving yardage. And I'll tell you this about Treadwell. For a guy the Jaguars signed in like early June, he's had a nice little year. I mean, albeit he's not going to win you a lot of games, but from what they've asked him to do, including what they asked him to do today, he's been all right. And I thought he was one of their best offensive players today. So he gets the offensive player of the game.
I remember him in training camp. I mean, he looked pretty decent in training camp, and he ended up he got cut from the Jaguars, and then they brought him back to the practice squad. Yeah, well, so I mean, that's what I'm talking. That's the kind of player that I'm talking about. I mean, you're talking about a journeyman who's been on a couple of teams, who's a former first round pick, gets cut, has a salty career, and then he comes here and he makes a couple of plays. So good for him.
He is this week's offensive player of the game. 641-1010 is the phone number. If you want to get involved, Jacksonville, we are more than welcome to hear from you. Again, the Jaguars lose 37-7 today to the Los Angeles Rams. And now, Leon, you lose by 30 and you get to fly across the country back home. I imagine that's a wonderful flight. What is that, about five and a half hours?
Easy, yes.
Yeah, to think about losing by 30 points. Part of the bad deal about going to the West Coast. Let's go to St. Augustine. Let's get Kirk up here on 1010XL. Kirk, how we doing?
Doing good, man. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so really kind of two questions. So Laviska Shenault, I mean, you know, is it time to basically kind of cut the expectations for that guy? I mean, I've seen him cut a route several times and be off the mark with Trevor. That's kind of question number one. Then question two, at this point in the season, do you think that Urban's lost the locker room?
Hey, Kirk, appreciate it. As far as Shenault goes, yes. As hard as we are on Taven Bryan, as hard as we are on Caleb Chaisson and all these other relatively young guys that happen to be first-round picks. Well, Chenault wasn't a first-rounder, but he was a pretty high second-rounder, and he's now 28 games into his NFL career, and quite frankly, he's not doing very much. Now, are they not using him properly? I don't know. But when you see Van Jefferson, who was taken after Chenault in last year's draft, Jefferson was a late second rounder. Chenault was an early second rounder. Who would you rather have right now?
Van Jefferson.
I'd rather have Van Jefferson. Absolutely. So I think that might answer that.
Yeah, this Chenault issue might be two-part because this is his second year. He's still in the infantile stage of his career. A lot of that has to do with his preparation, his professionalism, and his play. And that might be his fault, or it might be the coaching staff's fault. It may be a little bit of both, maybe 50-50, because this kid, I remember this kid at Colorado. He is not playing like that kid at Colorado. I mean, you know, his route running, his toughness, his catching, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to give him a built-in excuse because his play is his resume, but somehow this kid is not being developed properly to where he can go out there and execute at the highest level.
What about Urban in the locker room?
This notion with the coach in the locker room, I played for Jimmy, Bill Cowher, and Tom Coughlin. They're having control in the locker room has absolutely nothing to do with them. It's the guys in the locker room that if they wanted to turn this thing around, they could. I mean, you got to hold people accountable for everything. Penalties, false starts, missed tackles, interceptions, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, this notion that, you know, Urban has lost the locker room. No, those guys in the locker room, in my opinion, have folded their tent, have given up. There's not lack of leadership in that locker room because if you wanted to turn this thing around, ain't got nothing really to do with the coaches. It has to do with the professionalism of those guys in that locker room, and I question that each and every week.
I mean, the bottom line, too, you have five games left. Three of the five, you're playing teams that probably need to win. Tennessee next week, New England, and then maybe in Indianapolis the final week of the year. The other two, you're playing teams that are considered to be as bad as you, with Houston and the Jets. So it'll be an interesting exercise over the next 5 weeks to see what happens. They're going to get crushed next Sunday. We're going to be sitting here 7 days from now talking about a 20-point loss at Tennessee. So just save the tape. We can basically rerun the same show. They're going to get annihilated next week. The Houston game here is going to be interesting because I'm not even sure you want to win that game anymore. You're at the point again, as sad as it is, where winning now is bad. Because it is draft talk. It is time. We're going to start getting mock draft guys on again because the Jaguars, again, will be picking in the top five, maybe the top three. And with the Detroit victory today, the Jaguars are right now only one game out from picking number one again in the draft. And it's like it's Groundhog Day. It never, ever seemingly is going to end. Let's go to Ponte Vedra. Let's get Mary in here on 1010XL. Mary, what do you got?
Hi, I'm been a fan of 1010XL for a really long time, but I'm a first-time caller. And to say my disgust, it's unbelievable. But I've got just a couple comments that I want to make. And one is I listen, you know, to the radio, and then I watch the television. So I saw Sean McVay, who paces back and forth on the sidelines. You watch Urban Meyer, and he stands there kind of in disbelief of, like, what's going on. He's just clueless. You know, and then I heard Frank Frangie say today to Tony Boselli is, Tony, okay, we have a franchise quarterback, and, you know, where will his development, like, go under or we start to have to worry? And Tony said about three or four games ago. So we've got this franchise quarterback now that's regressing, not progressing. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is something that we better be worried about. And I spent a lot of money. I'm a season ticket holder from the get-go. And I'm like, I'm disgusted. I mean, I don't even know if Shad Khan, is he aware of all of this? I'm so upset, but I'll take my comments off the air, and then you can just comment.
Hey, Mary, thank you. Appreciate you calling, and certainly appreciate you listening. Look, I paid the price on Twitter 2 weeks ago for even bringing up the fact that Mac Jones is doing what he's doing in New England and Trevor's doing what he's doing here. And I just got lambasted that he's got way more talent up there and Trevor, nothing's ever Trevor's fault. And all right, we'll just keep going with that as the weeks go by. And as the weeks go by, Trevor's throwing for $140 or $130, or maybe if he's lucky, $175. He's thrown 9 touchdowns in 12 games. And we'll keep blaming everything else and not blaming Trevor for any of it. And again, I'm not putting it all on Trevor by any stretch of the imagination. We just went over. I think they have the worst offensive roster in football. But if you're going to sit there and tell me that Trevor Lawrence is playing well right now, Leon, I don't believe that. I don't believe he is playing well.
No, he's not. He's shell-shocked. He is. His confidence is gone. His receivers aren't getting open. The offensive line gives him average protection at best. A lot of underthrows, a lot of overthrows. He's having to scramble for his life. He has no real running game. The offense has no fluidity. It has no flow. Nothing about the offense plays to his strength. So, yeah, he's regressed. He's playing bad worse than he played a couple of weeks ago. So, yes, our franchise generational quarterback is lackluster at best.
And it doesn't mean that I want anybody else other than Trevor. It doesn't mean that Trevor won't turn it around and have a great career here. 12 games in, he's not playing very well. And I think if you're one of those Jaguar fans that says Trevor can do no wrong, well, just keep watching because the offense isn't doing a whole lot of right now. And that includes Trevor Lawrence. Let's go to the north side, get Ronald in here on 1010XL. Ronald, what's going on?
How you guys doing? I was thinking about what Hacker said about the talent, and I'm a longtime Jaguar fan, and that's always the theme. Jacksonville has no weapons, no talent. And I'm like Leon, man. There's so many college football teams, and only so many people can make the pros. These guys have talent. They have to be coached up. I mean, we haven't had a tight end scene like since, I don't know, Big Sofa. Maybe Mercedes Lewis. You never can get a tight end. It's always, we don't have no talent. I know Lazard, he's not a superstar, but hell, he's starting in Green Bay. Fournette left here. He's doing his thing in Tampa. And I heard Stephen A. Smith say if Mac Jones was in Jacksonville, he wouldn't be doing what he'd be doing. He doesn't have a bunch of talent on the outside of New England. And if Belichick was coaching this team, we all know they wouldn't be playing like this. They have to be coached up. And I know Leon said they're professionals and all that, but coaches play a part in this thing also. I mean, I didn't play pro ball. I played high school ball, but coaching does matter. I didn't like them hiring Urban Meyer, and it's not hindsight. But they have to be coached up, and they have talent. Sinault can go someplace else, and he'd be running all over the place. They have to be put in the positions to make plays. And these guys, like I said, they deflated. The defense is pretty decent, but like I said, they on and off the field because it's three and outs. And Trevor, every time they put this stat up about Peyton Manning had so many interceptions, Troy Aikman and all this kind of stuff, he's got talent. He is shell-shocked right now. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Ronald, appreciate it, man. Got to move on. That's another thing that I love, too. And again, I'm getting kind of salty about the Jaguars this year, if you can't tell. It doesn't matter that they are terrible because the Dallas Cowboys went 1-15 in 1989. That's the go-to now. If that helps you sleep better at night, Jaguar fans, the more power to you. But this is okay, Leon. Being absolutely awful is okay because 32 years ago, the Dallas Cowboys went 1-15. Trevor can be bad because 23 years ago, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions, so it's okay. Trevor's going to be Peyton Manning, obviously, just not right now. All right. I mean, if that's where we're at in life, then you're going to take one example of the Dallas Cowboys from 32 years ago, and you're going to take one quarterback example from 2+ decades ago and say, well, those guys did it, so obviously the Jaguars will be able to turn it around. Hope you're right. Hope you're right if you're the one saying that.
First of all, that Cowboy team in 1989, that coaching staff was phenomenal. They didn't have any talent around them, so they had to deal with what they had to deal with. You're talking about Jimmy. You're talking about Campbell. You want to stay. We're talking about Butch Davis. We're talking about some elite time that coached me at Miami. So once they got some youth around them, they got some youth around. They got rid of the bad eggs and the old players. Then you start to see that turn around. I think you're fishing, Jacksonville. If you think of that right now, you're fishing. You're paddling upstream. If you're thinking that right now, this team needs some talent. And it needs some desirable coaches that can get these guys to playing the way they should be playing.
Let me get Jonathan in here real quick because he's been on hold forever. Jonathan, what's going on?
It feels like we're beating a dead horse every Sunday. I mean, we don't have Travis Etienne. We don't have DJ Chark. I mean, we're down a bunch of guys, and it's just, terrible. I mean, and I was kind of questioning when they took James Robinson out today. I mean, he does seem hurt, but I don't know if that was because of the fumble or because he was hurt.
Well, Jonathan, appreciate it. James Robinson was a game-time decision, and they gave the ball to him 8 times. If you're going to give the ball to somebody 8 times, you might as well have just sat him out and not even traveled him all the way to the West Coast. Let him rest. What is the point of putting your star running back out there, who was a game-time decision anyway, and giving him 8 carries? 641-1010 is the phone number. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. We're with you all the way up till 11 o'clock, Jacksonville. We're glad you're with us. Dave, Daniel, Charlie, hang in there. You guys are up on the other side. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, as always, we are presented by Jacksonville's area, Napa Auto Care Centers, and by Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Putting an extra 60 minutes on the clock, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics and Jacksonville area Napa Auto Care Centers on 1010XL.
With former Pro Bowl offensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you. It is 1010XL. It is 92.5 FM. Every week on the fifth quarter, we do give you a defensive player of the game. It is brought to you by Superior Fence and Rail. Let's do it right now. The Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game.
Jacksonville's building a fence along the goal line. This is the Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game. Superior Fence and Rail, where quality matters.
5 tackles, 3 solo, including a half sack. Also a couple of knockdowns at the line of scrimmage. I thought DeJuan Smoot did a very good job today. Defense had their struggles in the second half, certainly. But I saw 91 around the football a lot. He's had a pretty good year, all things considering. So, Leon, DeJuan Smoot, this week's defensive player of the game.
Had a good game. I saw him slicing and dicing the offensive line. Gives great effort, good hustle. A couple of batted balls, half a sack. Yeah, he played pretty well for the first half.
Not many defensive guys played well in the second half.
Not the second half, no.
Look, DeJuan Smoot's a guy that third-round pick, first couple of years in the league, nothing really materialized, but you look at the body of his career in Jacksonville. I mean, he got a contract extension because of it. He's been a pretty good third-round pick, man. Yeah. I have very little issue with what DeJuan Smoot has provided the Jaguars over the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Last year, what? He led the team in sacks.
Yeah.
Last year. What?
Five and a half sacks,
yeah. Got him a nice little contract, and he's performing well.
Let's head to Bay Meadows here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Let's get Dave in here on the fifth quarter. Dave, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Hey, let me give a quick shout-out to my boy Gardner. All right, I need to talk about our wonderful quarterback, Trevor. Hack, do you believe that everyone on this team needs to be held accountable?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, does it seem like Robinson got benched after he made a fumble?
That's what it seems like. Now, I think what they're going to tell you is there's injury issues there as well, but that's what it seemed like.
That's fine. So let me take you back to right before the second quarter. I'll do it quickly. I'll try. Trevor missed Robinson wide open on the flat by about 2 yards. Then he turns around, tries to hit James O'Shaughnessy, hits his fingertips instead of burying it in his chest. But I went back and I looked at the tape. Chenault was running a deep crossing route, and he was wide open. Trevor's not looking down the field. So we go to the next play, and he tries to hit Robinson on a dump down, misses him, but what he didn't see is Chenault running a fly pattern and he was wide open, that would have been a touchdown. So if Trevor's not being held accountable, shouldn't he be benched? Now, I know you guys say, well, we've got nobody. Well, that's the problem. We don't have anybody. Why don't we have a veteran quarterback?
Dave, appreciate it. Well, they do to an extent in C.J. Beathard. Look, at this point, you're not going to bench Trevor. The season's over. You're not going to the playoffs. You want him to get as much experience as he can. Leon, I'm going to ask you this every week. While it still has merit, and I certainly believe it still has merit right now, I asked you last week your concern level for Trevor. Now here we are another game, 7 days later. What is your concern level about Trevor Lawrence?
It's pretty high. It's pretty high.
Higher than it was 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, the call is right. I mean, and I don't know if it has to do with the protection or his confidence or he's a little shell-shocked, but he's not going through his progressions. And he's not taking the time to look downfield, to be quite honest with you. I mean, and you could say, well, he's not getting the time, he's not getting the protection, but we've got to see him. He's got to stand in that pocket, and if he's going to get smashed, he's going to get smashed. But he's got to be looking downfield to make plays. At this particular point, these dip and dunks, yeah, they're okay. But I mean, the reason why we got Trevor Lawrence, first pick overall, because you know the talent that he had at Clemson. I mean, he was known for the deep ball and the accuracy throwing the ball deep. And at this particular, over the last couple of weeks, he's not even looking downfield. And I don't know if that's, he's not going through progressions or he doesn't have the confidence, but we know he has the arm strength, but for whatever reason, he's not taking the long shots or the long balls that I'm used to seeing him playing at Clemson.
So. In 12 games, he's thrown for just north of 2,500 yards. He's completing less than 60% of his passes, 9 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. I get it. He's only played in the league 12 games, all right? Man, the tone has completely changed when we drafted him back in April, though. Everybody was like, this is our Justin Herbert. This is our, you know, you name him, our Joe Burrow, our Baker Mayfield, our Kyler Murray. This is going to be our guy. Well, I still believe that he will be the guy. Do I have more questions now than I did a month ago? Absolutely, because he's regressing. He's getting worse. Is he getting worse because those around him are getting worse? Probably. But again, I swear I heard this a bunch. Good quarterbacks make the players around you better. Trevor's not making anybody better around him. That's for darn sure.
When I see Trevor play, I think Trevor plays like he's more concerned about losing the game than winning the game. I mean, you got to take those shots. If you're taking those shots down the field and it's incomplete or it's in, I mean, I just don't see the confidence. And that's twofold. It has to do with the play calling and with Trevor. So, I mean, and threefold because our wide receivers, I mean, on occasion, more than none, aren't getting open.
Let's go to Arlington. Let's get Charlie in here on 1010XL. Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. And I agree about Trevor. I'm just worried about his accuracy more than anything. But a couple callers already touched on James Robinson that I was going to mentioned, so I don't mean to repeat it, but my thing is, do you guys feel like that the coaching staff just doesn't respect James Robinson? They don't know what they have, because I think he's a top 10 running back in this league. I think he's got vision, something you can't teach, and something that'll keep him successful for a long time. And do they just not realize what they have or something with him? Because they need to teach, they need, I mean, if he fumbles twice, I really don't care. He's got street credit already here. It keeps happening, maybe discipline him, but I think that's what was going on, but do these guys know what they have in James Robinson?
Charlie, appreciate it. Leon, we've gotten a lot of calls about the James Robinson thing. 2 games in a row, he fumbles. Last week, he was pulled for 16 straight plays. This week, very similar. Again, I do believe there are health issues there. He was a game-time decision today. I don't know, again, why you play him if you're going to give him 8 carries. But what's your take on the whole James Robinson thing and this coaching staff? Are there underlying issues there, you think?
Yeah, I call it draftism. And what I mean by draftism is that if James Robinson was a first or second round pick who had been fumbling the football, if he was your franchise back, there's no way in the hell you pull him for 18, 20 plays. It's so-called punish him. And because James Robinson is an undrafted free agent, and he does have street carried here in Jacksonville last year, he had over 1,300 yards from the line of scrimmage. All right? And for whatever reason, this coaching staff just doesn't admire him or respect him at some capacity, because he outside of Trevor, even before, he's probably your most productive offensive guy on the team when he gets the ball. All right, and I go to the front office. I listen. If this was the Cowboys, and Robertson was Ezekiel Elliott and he fumbled, and the Cowboys pull Zeke for 16 to 18 plays, Jerry Jones would lose it.
Mm-hmm.
He would absolutely lose it. He would say, "What the hell are you doing? Put him back on the field." I don't think James Robinson gets that. I don't think he gets that courtesy. And I hate to say it, because he was an undrafted free agent. People say, "Well, then why are they doing it? Why?" It seems like some Pop Warner punishment for when he fumbles. And this is back-to-back weeks. Back-to-back weeks, he's fumbled the ball, and you punished him by keeping him out of plays. I don't hear this talk about, "Well, we're trying to eat his health issues. We want to make sure." No, that's a bunch of bull. You did it back-to-back weeks. That's all I got to say.
And Carlos Hyde fumbled too. I think exactly. He was pulled for like 7 plays and
he
came back
twice.
In. Yeah. Let's head to the beaches. Let's get Daniel in here on 1010XL. Daniel, what do you got?
Well, I got called into work. I had to crawl underneath the hospital for about 4 hours. I don't know if it's all the methane I was breathing in on getting this poopy pipe, but the score, freaking insane. And
all right, yeah, let's try to keep the language. I understand the issues that we have with the Jaguar football team. It's a PG show, Leon. There's certain things we can get away with, certain things we cannot get away with. So let's try to keep it somewhat civil. But I do think that goes to show you the level of frustration that some Jaguar fans have about the product they're seeing on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, I understand. Make you want to curse at some times. But
I let a few fly today.
You know.
And I got to be careful. I got a little toddler walking
exactly.
around the house.
Exactly.
But, the Jaguars, at some point, you got to let them fly. Just not on radio.
And I make sure that I don't have anything perishable around the house when I'm watching the game, because I'll probably tear it up.
Every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do give you a special teams player of the game. That special teams player of the game is brought to you by the McKeever Clinic. Let's do it right now. The McKeever Clinic, special teams player of the game.
Now, the special teams player of the game.
We be special.
Brought to you by the urological specialists of McKeever Clinic.
The best player for the Jacksonville Jaguars today was Logan Cook. He punted the ball 5 times, a long of 68. All 5 of his punts pinned the Rams inside their own 20-yard line. All kidding aside, that's a good day at the office for Logan Cook. You punt the ball 5 times and you pin the opponent inside the 20 all 5 times. Very deserving of this week's special teams player of the game.
Absolutely. It's a game of field position. And he put the Rams offense in a peculiar position for us to defend. Now, unfortunately, our defense couldn't do anything to stop him, especially in the second half. But Logan Cook did have a good game.
37-7, the Rams over the Jaguars. Jacksonville falls to 2-10 on the year. I believe I saw Mike DeRocco of ESPN tweet this out earlier. 10 of the last 11 years now, double-digit losses. The only one that wasn't was amazingly 2017, which obviously ended up in an AFC Championship game appearance. That feels like 20 years ago, with as bad as it's been here in Jacksonville since that loss in New England on January 21st. 2018. We're at halftime, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Mimi, Trevor, all you guys hang in there. You'll be in on the other side. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. We are presented by Jacksonville's area Napa Auto Care Centers and by Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics right here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.
Bringing you an extra quarter of football.
The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. Presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Running play. Carlos Hyde tries the right side into the end zone. Touchdown. A short touchdown run by Carlos Hyde, and Jacksonville is in the end zone.
Frank Frangie, Jaguars Radio. Carlos Hyde punching it in. That capped off what was a pretty impressive drive for the Jacksonville Jaguars today. In fact, it was their only impressive drive of the game. Every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do give you a drive of the game. It is brought to you by Tire Outlet. And let's do it right now. The Tire Outlet drive of the game.
Now, the Tire Outlet drive of the game. Tire Outlet, wholesale prices, premium service.
Leon Searcy, 13 plays, 73 yards, eating up 6 minutes and 32 seconds off the clock. Jacksonville at that time only down 10-7. You think you got a ball game? Of course, you get outscored 27-0 after that, which was a little unfortunate. But for that one drive, it was a pretty impressive drive of the game.
It was. It had balance. They had a little rhythm to it. Couple of, you know, with 12 plays?
13.
13 plays. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you could do it once, why can't you do it again? That's the concerning part about it.
After that drive, the Jaguars would go punt, punt, end of half, punt, downs, fumble, punt, end of game.
That's ugly.
There you have it. That was a Jaguar terrible offense today.
We going to the Super Bowl.
That's terrible, man. That's just awful.
641-1010 is the phone number. Phone lines open to you, Jacksonville. If you want to get in, there's room for you. We're with you until 11 o'clock. Let's head to the north side. Let's get Trevor in here on 1010XL. Trevor, go ahead.
Yes, yes, yes. How y'all doing, fellas? I was just calling in, though, because and it's been a while. I'm alone listening to this show, and I really like y'all's show. But I finally just had to crack and call in because I've been frustrated. And at this point, it's been years and years, and I'm frustrated with these coaching staff that we've been getting. And since Khan got here, I can look at everything else. I can tell the players. I can just tell, especially when it comes to the offense, they're out of sync. And then it goes to the coaching staff when it comes to that. Like, what are y'all really doing? Like, Urban Meyer saying he doesn't micromanage things, which I get it. But as the head coach in your first year in, I would think you would want to micromanage at least enough so you could soak up the game. Because if I'm not mistaken, before he even came to the league, it's the same guy that says he doesn't watch the NFL much and stuff like that. And he really doesn't know too much. I even see when he calls other players on other teams, he says their number instead of their name. And I think it just goes down to the point where Urban is still learning this game. Don't know about much of the other coaches. I really don't like Bevel because this offense is just – I mean, even with us being a bad team without the talent, this offense is just not – they're not professional at all. They look like a Pop Warner team at this point. And I think it all boils down to coaching. I just want to see what you guys think about it so far. It's like what this coaching staff really has done to this point with this team.
Trevor, appreciate it. Urban, I won't say got criticism, but some people have noted some things during the year. Remember when they asked him about the Texans running backs and he brought up Joe Mixon? It's like Joe Mixon doesn't play for the Texans. Oh, right, I was watching Bengal film earlier. He corrected himself a little bit later. They asked him about the Rams on Monday last week, and he said, well, I really haven't studied the Rams yet. This was on Monday. You're playing them in 6 days. I mean, I wouldn't think you have to be an NFL head coach to at least know who Cooper Kupp is or Matt Stafford and to say, well, I haven't really studied the Rams yet. Just kind of an odd answer for an NFL head coach. And I do wonder, and I think the caller, Trevor, there might be onto something. How much does Urban really know about the league, about other teams, opponents in the league right now?
Well, Urban needs to take the training wheels off his bike. That's what he needs to do. If he's so trustworthy, and I understand these guys that he has in position at coordinator and defensive coordinator have got the NFL experience, but he's got to be hands-on. He's got to have some say-so in, no, if Robinson's healthy, get him out there. Let him play. He's our guy. Let him go. He's got to have some say-so in that. I don't care whoever made the decision to pull him. And I keep going back to this Robinson thing because it was an interview and they asked him about the fumble and was he hurt or was he injured? And he said, no, but you didn't put him back out there. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
And then he actually, those kind of questions. In regards to the Hyde fumble, that came up as well. Hyde came back in the next possession.
Yes.
Robinson was out 3 possessions after his fumble. And then Urban again for the second straight week brought up, well, go talk to Bernie Parmalee about it. I don't micromanage those things.
That doesn't make any sense to
it's
me.
A bad you're, look for a head coach.
It is a very bad look. You're the head coach. You've got to have a say-so in having your players, your star players on the field is going to give you the best chance to win. doesn't make any sense that you're leaving up to the assistants. You know, you're the head coach. If I'm the head coach and Robinson's not in the game and he's healthy, I need to know why he's not in the game, even after a fumble. Why isn't he at this series?
I mean,
why isn't he in this next series?
Can you imagine a world where Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh or any of these established NFL coaches say, don't ask me, ask the position coach. I don't micromanage. No way would you ever hear anything like that from a guy like Mike Tomlin. He's on top of everything.
Exactly. That's exactly on everything. And if your best player isn't hurt and he's not, if your best player isn't hurt and he's not playing in the game, I need to know the hell why isn't he playing?
Yeah, that's, you know what? It's a good point. I'm sure it'll be brought up more this week as we get ready to go play Tennessee. Let's go to the south side. Get Mimi in here on 1010XL. Mimi, how we doing?
Hi, guys. Listen, I have two questions I wanted to ask first before I made a comment. Leon, when the team wins the coin toss, who makes the determination whether they're going to receive or whether they're going to defer? Is it the coach?
Yeah. The coach usually tells them to, based on if they win it or lose. If they win it, to either defer or take it.
Okay. Well, Urban, try a different strategy next week because the last 4 weeks in a row, his strategy didn't work very well. And also, who won the games on Friday night between Trinity, Baker County, and Bowles?
All right, Mimi, thank you very much. Bowles lost to Coco. Baker lost to Miami Central. The Trinity did win, and Trinity will be playing for a 2A state championship this weekend. It is nice to talk about teams that win. As a Orlando Magic fan, I'm 5-19 in that department. As a guy that covers the Jaguars at 2-10, take those records, combine them, I am at 7-29 between the Magic and the Jaguars. I've had a really bad sports year to this point, so hopefully Trinity can at least bring home a 2A state championship this upcoming week. Let's head to the west side. Let's get Wes in here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Wes, what do you got?
Hey, Hack. Do you think that the way that Matt Hayes always talks about Urban not patrolling the sideline like he did back in the day at Florida and Ohio State maybe has to do with his health nowadays where he can't get all fired up or have these heart issues or any of that kind of stuff? What do you think about that? I'll take it off the air.
Hey, Wes, thank you. There's a noticeable difference from the way Urban coached in college to the way he's coaching now. Now, again, Leon, and you would obviously be able to speak to this, college athletes to NFL athletes, maybe the rah-rah doesn't resonate in the NFL, although I saw 69-year-old Pete Carroll today. I believe he's 69 years old. Go up and down the sidelines and get his Seahawks guys fired up during the San Francisco-Seattle game. But you got to keep in mind, too, Urban Meyer coached at Florida 11 years ago.
Pete Carroll's 70.
70, yeah, so 70 years old. Urban Meyer, the last time he was at Florida, he was a 46-year-old. Now it's a 57-year-old Urban Meyer. I mean, that's 11 years difference, obviously, and he's not as young, as spry as maybe he once was. He's changed his demeanor a little bit. But again, it is noticeable, Urban's interaction on game days on the sidelines in college compared to where we are right now in Jacksonville.
Well, I hope it's not health issues. And we talked about this last week on the air on XL Primetime, but the whole issue with the tape, you know, the whole maybe he doesn't feel equipped to chastise the players based upon, you know, his own, he would look like a hypocrite.
Because of the bar and the young lady.
Yeah, but you got to put that stuff aside. You got to be like, look, you got to be like Sinatra. I'm going to do it my way. You know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging my way. How I've coached before, how I coached to the successes that I've had at Utah, at Florida, at Ohio State. I mean, this solemn, I remember him at Florida. I remember him at Ohio State. Intensity. Into it, you know, into the game, getting the players hyped up, you know, that kind of stuff. I hope that's not the case. But he's a shell of himself based upon what I used to see him in college.
I do think he is invested, though. I mean, there was when Trevor Lawrence completed that bullet of a pass, was it on third or fourth down to move the chains? You saw Urban with both arms raised. I mean, obviously he's into the game. He knows what's going on. He's not aloof out there. He's obviously able to follow along, but there is no doubt that, and we have people so funny, like body language experts online. That to me is hogwash. But the amount of people talking about Urban on the sideline at least makes you start looking at Urban on the sideline, because it has become a talking point, his actions out there on game day.
Well, I mean, you can look on the sideline when there's a fumble, when there's a three and out. There, I look at on the sideline, there's this thought, here we go again. You got to get past that kind of stuff. And it's not just Herb and the coaching staff, it's the players. When they get it, when adversity strikes, instead of them, you know, raising their level of play or expectations, I look on that sideline, it's like, here we go again. Here it comes. Here comes the L. And if you're going about the business of that week in and week out, yeah, you're going to lose more than you win.
Again, since Shad Khan bought the team prior to the 2012 season, 41 wins, now 115 losses, 74 games under 500. Let's head to Jacksonville Beach. Let's get Gary in here on 1010XL. Gary, what do you got?
Hey, Hack and Leon. Let me go through the progression here, because it's kind of tongue-in-cheek to solve the problem. There's three things: a statement, a question to Leon, and then let me give you my solution, tongue-in-cheek. The statement is, we're going to shoot down this meteorite. We're not going to shoot at where it is. We're going to shoot at where it's going to be. All right, Leon, question as an NFL player. What if our defensive cornerbacks knew exactly where the ball was going to go to and the timing? How would they do?
Hell, they'd be wearing gold jackets.
Okay. Let's put in our cornerbacks as our wide receivers. Let's throw right at Ramsey and tell them we're going to throw at Ramsey. And since our wide receivers can't fight for a 50-50 ball, our cornerbacks are going to know right where the ball is going to be. Let's put them in as wide receivers.
At this point, I'd be willing to try anything.
You see what I'm saying?
That does 50-50,
yeah. Man. You know, and the other caller was right. They're wide open. And it doesn't matter if they're wide open. Throw the ball. 1, 2, 3, throw the ball where it's supposed to be. I haven't seen any defensive guys make any plays on us. I see us dumping balls off at 3, 4 yards, 10 yards down the field, getting tackled. I don't see any Ramsey running on our wide receiver 30 yards, 25 yards, and knocking the ball down full speed. I see our wide receiver stopping at midfield. I see Trevor not even looking down the field like everybody keeps on saying.
Gary, appreciate it. We got to move on. Is that Leon? And again, Johnny, Mark, the rest of you guys, hang in there. We're with you until 11 o'clock. You will be first up coming up in just 1 second. The Trevor not going down the field. And I'm going to be curious, because I want to get, you know, a look at the end zone cams and other things of the past couple of weeks. I want to go down and look. They're not trying to go down the field at all. Or Trevor's not throwing the ball down the field. And I'm curious, you know, how many guys were open. I do remember the one Chenault play today where it did look like he was open and Trevor didn't go there. But we've seen rookie quarterbacks. The one that jumps to mind to me is David Carr. David Carr just got annihilated by a horrific offensive line in Houston, and his career never recovered in the early 2000s. I don't think Trevor's gotten sacked all that much, though. David Carr was sacked something ridiculous like 70 times his rookie year. Trevor shouldn't have happy feet, because I thought his offensive line, again, all things considering, has not been awful when it comes to getting him hit. He got hit today because the Rams have a really good front seven. But by and large, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You tell me, for a rookie quarterback behind a bad offensive line and a bad football team, I don't think Trevor has took an excessive amount of hits to this point in the season.
Well, I'm going to speak like a true offensive lineman. Sacks are overrated. All right? They really are overrated. Pressures. People in your face, not being able to step up in the pocket, guys coming around the corner, having to rush your throws, those kind of things. You're right. I think the Jaguars may have given up today, what, one sack? But Trevor was pressured all day long. I mean, Aaron Donald
yeah.
was on, he was on Norwell, and he was on Barch, and he was a full-time meal on both of those guys.
Leonard Floyd had a good game.
And Leonard Floyd had, I mean, so although the Rams only had one sack in the whole game, they pressured Trevor throughout the whole game.
Do you think it's been excessive throughout the entire year, though?
There's been games where our offensive line gave him protection, and he still didn't throw the ball down the field. And then there's been times where he's been pressured where he didn't have a chance to throw it down the field. So it's been a 50-50 ball right now. You know, the offensive line, have they played great? No. Have they played average? At times. Right now, they're about a little below average offensive line. And I don't think they've given up, 20 sacks all season.
It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Jacksonville's area, Napa Auto Care Centers, and by Dr. George Barry, Barry Orthopedics. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. Johnny, Mark, you'll be the first two up. If you want to get in Jacksonville, there is room for you. 641-1010. We're with you for about another 35 minutes. The Jaguars fall today 37-7 to the Los Angeles Rams. We'll also take a look at the NFL scoreboard. Some really interesting games, including Sunday Night Football going on right now. Kansas City, a 13-3 lead on Denver. Kansas City just intercepted Teddy Bridgewater, and a Denver offensive lineman just got absolutely annihilated on a crackback block. That will be a personal foul. You cannot do that. But the bottom line, Kansas City will have the ball up 10 late in the third quarter. More to do, Jacksonville. Glad you're with us. Fifth quarter, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics and Jacksonville area Napa Auto Care Centers on 1010XL.
Michelle stands to his left. It's a blitz. The Jags blitz him. He fires. That ball is going to be caught. Cooper Kupp's got it. 10, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown. A crossing route by Cooper Kupp and a 29-yard touchdown pass from Stafford to Kupp extends the lead at SoFi Stadium.
Frank Frangie, Jaguars Radio. Leon Searcy explained this to me. And again, I'm not going to blame Wingert until we find out from Urban tomorrow, because I don't know how this could be Wingert's fault. But Cooper Kupp might be the best receiver in football. Certainly in the conversation. You're going to give him 10 yards of open space, running full speed directly towards Andrew Wingert, who's 10 yards off the ball. And all Cooper Kupp basically does is plant to a post, and he goes in for 6, untouched. That had to be a blown coverage, right? There's no way you're going to not, like, jam Cooper Kupp on the line of scrimmage or something. I couldn't believe it.
It has to be Winger's fault. It has to be.
Was Winger supposed to come up?
He's got to eat up space. On that crossing route, he's got to eat up space.
He looked pretty surprised that Cooper Kupp was coming unopposed right up the field at him, if you get the slow-mo version of the replay.
But listen, he's got to take some air out the room. He gave him too much cushion. That crossing route was too easy. I mean, the guy blitzed. He came down the coverage. He ran a crossing route. I mean, at best, it should have been a 10-yard gain. I mean, it went for a touchdown.
Well, Kupp made his break and Dewey just kind of stood there for a sec. It was like a half second where he just like kind of was surprised that he made an in-breaking cut, and he just didn't know what to do.
He had to know that was his guy.
It was bad.
It was a bad look, yes.
It was bad. Although Andrew did lead the team in tackles today.
It's his birthday, by the way.
It is. Happy birthday to Andrew Wingard. No question about that. Every week on the fifth quarter, we do give you a play of the game. It is a Jaguar-related play of the game. It is brought to you by Performance Painting. And let's do it right now, the Performance Painting play of the game.
Now, the Performance Painting High Performance play of the game. Performance Painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
Well, when you only score one touchdown, odds are that's probably going to be the play of the game. Honorable mention to the 68-yard punt Logan Cook made. Daniel Thomas downing that inside the one-yard line. Not that it mattered, because on the very first play of that drive, the Rams gained 9 yards right up the middle with a halfback dive with Sony Michel. But the play of the game was the Carlos Hyde touchdown. Again, the Jaguars love putting Malcolm Brown in as a fullback. They've done that many times and seemingly worked most of them, as Leon Carlos Hyde punched it in for the Jaguars' only touchdown of
yay,
the game.
Yay, yay, yay.
Yeah. And again, that was 10-7 at that point.
It was. It was a game.
They would get outscored 27-0 after that. 641-1010. Let's get through these calls. Let's go to my neck of the woods, to Mandarin. Let's get Mark in here on 1010XL. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, this question's for Leon. It's actually two questions. Leon, does the offensive line use hand signals for the line a lot?
Do they use hand signals?
Yes, sir.
Oh, they do not. Well, I didn't. I don't know what they're doing nowadays, but I didn't use hand signals.
Like for passing offense and running offense, does the offensive coordinator make that call or no?
The offensive coordinator, yes, he does make the call to the quarterback who relays it in the huddle, yes.
Okay, I got you. All right, Leon, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, no
problem.
All right,
Mark, appreciate it.
As far as hand signals go, when you're at an opposing team's stadium,
right,
it is hard to hear. All right, so I saw Ben Bartsch do this a couple of times where he was looking back at Trevor, and he would tell Trevor when he wants the ball, and then I think he would tap.
You'd tap Linder or Shally after Linder got hurt.
Because they have to go silent count because of the noise. So I think I know what he's talking about.
Jaguars have not won a road game in another stadium. I know they won in London earlier, but a true road game in an opposing NFL stadium in almost 2 years now. December of 2019 in the Black Hole in Oakland, California was the last true road game the Jaguars have won. That's pretty incredible. It's been 2 years since they've won a road game in an opposing stadium. Let's go to the state of Virginia. Let's get Johnny in here on 1010XL. Johnny, what's going on?
Hey, Hack, thanks for taking my call. Leon, big fan.
Appreciate it.
You mentioned, Hack, about Shot Khan, the team's record since Shot Khan purchased the team. And if you look at the Jags front office, we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, if you look at the leadership structure in the Jaguars, you have Mark Lampkin, who's claimed the famous 14 years as St. Louis Cardinals baseball president. He focuses on fan experience, and I give him credit. He's been doing good things with fan experience, but in my opinion, the best experience is winning. You want to have a good fan experience? Put a winning team on the field. Then you have Tony Khan, no NFL experience, and Trent Baalke was part of the 1-15 debacle. Shad Khan needs an experienced advisor with NFL experience to advise him on hiring, free agents, the draft, everything, and someone that Jim Harbaugh, that the GM and the head coach would answer to. Perfect candidate. You want to get Urban Meyer fired up and Trent Baalke? Make Jim Harbaugh your director of football, president of football operations, because he had a power struggle with Trent Baalke, and I know Urban would hate taking orders from Jim Harbaugh being a Michigan, Ohio State dynamic.
Johnny, thank you. A couple of things. That will never happen with Jim Harbaugh, so it's not even worth commenting about. Harbaugh and Urban, no. Mark Lamping has done outstanding work. Outstanding work. I have nothing but positive things to say about Jaguar team president Mark Lamping with the game day experience, everything that he does with the organization and deals with the city and whatnot. I think Mark Lamping has done an outstanding job. I think Shad Khan has been loyal to a fault. The fact that Dave Caldwell was here 7.5 years is lunacy. Lunacy. He was a terrible general manager. Terrible. Horrible. There aren't words to describe how bad of a general manager Dave Caldwell was. And the fact that he was here from 2013 to midway through 2020, there aren't words really to describe that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that goes back to the caller's question. I mean, the fact that he kept a guy over the last 7.5 years who did a terrible job. I mean, where is his advisory board? I mean, at some particular point, the team, the coach, and the GM has got to be critiqued. Shad Khan can't be looking at this guy over all this time and saying that he's doing a good job when he's had one winning season?
41 wins and 115 losses is hard to explain.
Exactly.
With the way the NFL is, with parity, the salary cap, the fact that you're 74 games under 500 in the last, what, 9-10 seasons, it's getting harder to explain as the losses pile up. It's a disaster. 41 wins in 10 years in the NFL, you're averaging 4-12 a season.
Well, I mean, you saying all that, Hack, is winning to the criteria. Because it can't – that for those numbers that you've just spewed out over the last – since he's owned the team, where's the criteria for winning?
It hasn't been there. Losing has been acceptable here.
That's what I'm
losing
saying.
Losing has been deemed to be okay here. Losing is not acceptable in a lot of NFL markets. There's no question that in the past, losing has been accepted here. And unfortunately, it looks like losing is being accepted again here in 2021. Let's get Craig and Riverside – real quick, and then Jerry and Chris will wrap it up on the other side. Craig, how we doing?
Not good, man. This season's pretty much a wrap, fellas. Like, where are we at with pulling guys up from the practice squad? I mean, I saw more heart out of Cotton Jr. than I have some of these guys playing in the game every Sunday. We're like...
Craig, it's an interesting question. Leon, we'll talk about that on the other side. Baseball teams do it. Basketball teams do it. NFL teams very rarely do it. You're not going to pull all 16 guys up from the practice squad. Although he's right, win or lose now doesn't even really matter anymore. The season is over. Do you want to get those young guys some repetitions?
No, there's a reason why they're on the practice squad. Because they're not good enough to make the roster. And on a very bad roster.
And if they're not good enough to do better than what we saw today... That's unbelievable.
We're in trouble.
that's unbelievable. Yes. Last segment of phone callers, Jerry, Chris, I promise if you guys hang on, we'll get to you on the other side. With Leon Searcy, the Hacker Ryan Green with you, the Rams, a 37-7 winner tonight over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars now 2-10 on the year.
The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter, presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do give you an injury update. That injury update is brought to you by the good folks at Farrah & Farrah. Let's do it right now. The Farrah & Farrah injury update.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Some offensive line issues, Leon. Brandon Linder left the game. Tyler Shatley came in. Shatley's played a lot for the Jaguars. We'll have to see what happens with Linder. You kind of get the feeling his time may be drawn to a close here in Jacksonville. Who knows? But the injuries seem to be mounting up there. Ben Bartsch left the game. I believe he came back at the end. Will Richardson was in. The only reason I know Will Richardson was in, he's got called for a holding penalty once he came in the game, so it was pretty obvious to identify him. Tyson Campbell also left the game, but he came back. But nevertheless, I mean, you're 12 games into the NFL season. I don't care who you are. Injuries are mounting up all over the league.
Everybody's banged up. 12 games within the season, everybody's banged up. There's a difference between being hurt and injured, though. If you hurt, you play. If you injure, you're out. All right? So a lot of these guys... probably seeing the tail end. I'm not saying anybody, but I just know that I've been in the league long enough where you see the tail end of the season and stuff that you usually would get yourself back on the practice field if you're winning. When you're losing, you kind of take – wait a minute. James Robinson wasn't on the injury list?
We know he was a game-time decision with the knee and the heel, and again, 8 carries for 24 yards and a fumble. For James Robinson. Two final calls of the night. Let's start by going to Jerry. Jerry, you're on 1010XL. What's going on?
All right, Hacker. Searcy, you was right 100%. This team don't show no emotion, no excitement, no fight. You were right when you said that a few days ago. That because the coach don't show anything. He's always on the sideline with his knee down, looking at the ground. Look at the Ram coach running down the sideline. Look at Atlanta Falcons coaches meeting their players off the field. Look at Pete Carroll up and down the sideline. Even TC were like that. If you did something wrong, he was on the field. You did something right, he was out on the field. We got a coach that'll show no emotion, no expression. So how can the team get excited? You got a coach don't even get excited.
Jerry, appreciate the phone call. Though, Leon, you've been pretty steadfast on this. That doesn't really matter, right? The players? I mean, the coach showing genuine emotion? You know, I think there's enough emotion in the stadium where...
I mean, it does. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself, particularly. It didn't resonate with me when I played.
Did you watch the end of the Oklahoma State Baylor game yesterday?
I did.
Oklahoma State, fourth and goal, gets stopped like the 6-inch line.
Yes.
Dave Aranda, the coach from Baylor,
did he blink? I don't
didn't
think he blinked.
Do anything. There was no emotion whatsoever. You know why people aren't talking about it? Because Baylor won the game, man. If Jacksonville was winning, nobody would give a flying rat's you-know-what about Urban Meyer and emotion. But because the team's losing, they're losing because the coach isn't showing emotion on the sideline.
Well, my thing is this. If you need your coach to get you riled up for Sundays, then you don't probably need to be playing football. You should love the game enough to get yourself fired up. You know, I mean, I played for some great coaches. I played for Jimmy. I played for Erickson. I played for Cowher. I played for Tom.
And, never mind a cup of coffee with Billick and in Billick, Baltimore.
Yeah, I didn't care if they were doing cartwheels on the sideline. I loved the game of football, and I was going to be out there, and I was going to put all my effort, all my time, my energy, my enthusiasm into that game. That's how you win games. You need those type of players on your team.
Final call of the night. Let's head up to Yulee. Let's get Chris in here on 1010XL. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Hack. Thanks for taking my call last minute. But for the fair injury report, you forgot to mention the thousands of broken hearts of Jaguar fans all over the city.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just want to talk about, you know, you don't need 2020 vision to see that we should be talking about the draft a month and a half before the season's over. And with the way the Jaguars have been playing, it's never too early to talk about the draft, no matter what point in the season. Just want to get your thoughts. I don't know if you guys are more about the best available or best player, but I think we're going to be top five, maybe top three picking. And the higher you pick, the more gray those get. So I don't know where we need and what we need, especially after today, whether it's that pass rushing kid out of Michigan or whatnot. But I want to get your thoughts of what, as of right now, with 2-10, what we need the most. So what you guys think of best available or best player, and then we'll take it from there. Thanks, guys.
Chris, appreciate it. Best non-quarterback. Give me the best non-quarterback, whether it's Hutchinson at Michigan, Thibodeau at Oregon, Evan Neal at Alabama, whatever. You need help everywhere. I mean, honestly, think about it. O-line, D-line, linebacker, wide receiver, tight end. Where don't you need help on this team? You need it everywhere, with the possible exception of punter and, I guess, quarterback. Aside from those two, I would be unopposed to taking any position.
I'm with you. Now, free agency, if we don't spend money on at least two wide receivers, we need wide receivers for sure. All right? Chark is going to be gone. Marvin Jones, I mean, I'm not going to say he was over the hill, but he's older. Chenault, he's digressed. You got to get some weapons in here for Trevor.
Take the 45 guys that dressed today. We'll think about this during the break here. Do it more tomorrow. The 45 guys that dressed today, all the guys that are on injured reserve that you've already lost, Agnew, Chark, Arnold, etc. What guys do you absolutely hope are back in 2022? You say we got to have that guy back in 2022. I bet that list is incredibly short.
Oh, yeah. Offensively?
And just on the team.
Offensively, only two.
Trevor and
Robinson.
Okay. I want to see ETN.
Yeah, I want to see him.
Even though he got hurt, I want to see him.
I want to see him.
Defensively, Josh Allen.
And maybe Matt.
I mean, Dwan Smoot.
Yeah, Smoot. Yeah, he's a journeyman. He's a good rotational guy.
I mean, that's where the Jaguar roster is right now.
Yeah, true.
53 guys. All the guys that have gotten hurt. What guys absolutely have to be back in 2022? That'll be a fun exercise this week on XL Primetime. We'll do that at one point this week. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this week's edition of the Fifth Quarter next. Thank you for staying up late with us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Experience the freedom of the great outdoors.
Let's go to the woods, y'all.
On the Nimnik Buick GMC Outdoor Show. Jeff Lagerman, Captain Kevin Faber, and Captain Kirk Waltz.
You're going to be happy, happy, happy.
Saturday mornings from 7 to 10 on 1010XL.
Is your game clock running down to sell your home? No one likes to be pressured into a bad decision. Take away the pressure. Call Sean O'Neill. In fact, Sean is so sure he can help you that if it doesn't sell, he buys it. That's right. He sits down with you. You agree on a price and deadline. And if the thousands of buyers he has ready don't buy your home, Sean pulls out his checkbook and buys your home. You can't lose. Call today at 904-602-7653 or Google Sean O'Neill Expert Home Advisors.
Has someone you care about been arrested or had their driver's license taken away? I'm Susan Cohen, and I work with David Robbins at the law firm of Epstein & Robbins. We are experienced fighters for those charged with DUI, domestic violence, and all criminal offenses. In 2017, I was named the DUI Gladiator of the Year by the Florida Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. In your battle with the justice system, there's only one thing you need to know. Dial David, 24/7 at Epstein & Robbins, 354-5645.
Like working outdoors and want better pay and benefits? Superior Fence and Rail is seeking full-time fence installers with pay ranging from $16 to $25 an hour and more with commercial experience. Superior Fence and Rail will train you to work with their professional team and provide you with all the tools you need to be a top-notch installer. Get off the fence. Call Superior Fence and Rail today and start your career.
When you're on the fence, about a fence, SuperiorFenceAndRail.com.
Enjoy fall savings going on right now at Renewal by Anderson. Buy one window or patio door and get one 40% off, plus $50 off each window and door. There's no money down, no payments, and no interest for 12 months. Designed to withstand the harshest weather environments. Visit RBAFLA.com for more. This offer expires December 31st and restrictions apply. Renewal by Anderson, the official window and door replacement company of the Jacksonville Jaguars. License number CGC1527613.
In 1921, U.S. Marine Corps surgeon Dr. Robert McKeever established the first urologic practice in Florida, the McKeever Clinic. I'm Dr. West. 100 years later, we continue to carry on his life's work in providing complete urologic care in Jacksonville. We have 13 board-certified urologists with many areas of expertise to provide the highest level of care for both men and women. Visit McKeeverClinic.com to learn more about how we can help. McKeever Clinic, innovators in urologic care since 1921.
Money Pages is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. With 20 years of helping local businesses grow, Money Pages is Jacksonville's trusted multimedia leader. Money Pages has extensive experience in magazine publishing, direct mail, digital marketing, and branding. The Money Pages complete marketing system provides advertisers with integrated fulfillment to promote your business with multiple marketing channels. To learn more about advertising locally with a brand who knows Jacksonville, visit moneypages.com.
Listen up, Jacksonville. It's Santa, the undisputed champion of cheer. And I'm helping out my favorite credit union, 1-to-1 Financial. Ooh, yeah. With their annual toy drive for the kids and teens of Sulzbacher. What I need you to do, my Jacks brothers and sisters, get a bunch of new, unopened toys and bring them to your nearest 1-to-1 Financial location through December 11th. It all goes to support a huge holiday throwdown for the kids, Dorcas Drake style. Woo! Get all the deets at 1to1fcu.org. Do your part, Jacksonville.
Mike DiRocco here for Clearwater Irrigation and Drainage. Let me tell you, I had a bad standing water issue on my front sidewalk, and John Haney and his crew came in and completely solved it. Their service division fixed my sprinkler system, too. We all know these guys' singing is terrible, but their service is excellent.
Clearwater Irrigation, we can't sing a lick, but we sure are good at sprinklers. All right, Mike.
And drainage, too.
ClearwaterJacks.com.
Are you suffering from shoulder pain? If you have clicking and popping in the shoulder joint, persistent pain that intensifies with use, an inability to lift your arm over your head, or a tingling, burning sensation in the shoulder, elbow, or wrist, waiting to see a doctor could make your injury worse. Baptist Health and Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute have innovative and effective treatment options available right now to relieve your pain and restore your mobility. Don't wait. Call 904-JOI-2000.
Hi, everybody. It's Mike Dempsey for Pella Windows and Doors. So an errant golf ball
finally gave us the motivation to upgrade our windows. And obviously, if I'm investing in my home's appearance and comfort, I want the best value and service available. I'll say it again. Pella is Consumer Reports' overall top choice for energy efficiency and stylish design. When you need to replace your windows or doors, visit the Pella showroom on Phillips Highway. They're right next to Tesla, or you can find them online at PellaJax.com.
This 1010XL 92.5 FM hour is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 904-600-4000. That's 904-600-4000.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter, presented by Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics and Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers on 1010XL.
All right, Leon, as we put a bow on this week's edition of the Fifth Quarter, final thoughts. Rams, a 30-point winner today over the Jaguars.
Another embarrassing performance by the Jaguars offensively. Defensively held their own for the most part in the first half, but then the lack of production by the offense in the second half took its toll on the defense. I mean, they've been out there. You get three and outs and punts and all that kind of stuff. It takes a toll. And the Rams took advantage of us. We're running the ball, passing the ball, and we couldn't do anything, especially in the second half. I got my hopes up when it was 10-7. You know, that drive that they had, 13-play drive, 75 yards, touchdown. I thought there was a little fight in the team, but it proved me wrong again.
Leon, I enjoyed doing this so much, talking about a 30-point loss, that you and I are going to go home to our respective houses, rest, get rejuvenated, and come back here at high noon tomorrow for three more hours of Jaguar Review with Matt Hayes and Joe Coward on XL Primetime.
Awesome.
Have a good night, man. That is Leon Searcy. Michael Phillips produced it. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Jacksonville, thank you for staying up late with us tonight. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. We've been presented by Jacksonville's area, Napa Auto Care Centers, and by Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics. The Rams, 37. The Jaguars, 7. The Jaguars now 2-10 on the year. Jeff Prosser will be in this studio at 6 a.m., and we will kick off 16 hours of local programming on a Monday right here on the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And, of course, Leon and I will be a part of that at high noon on XL Primetime. Until then, good night, Jacksonville.